This Astros season has been pain. Okay, so Justin Verlander's been placed on the IL. 713-780-ESPN. Do you want him to hit 140 innings? So you're on the hook for $17.5 million next year. 713-780-3776. Meanwhile, the Astros might have buried something that they want buried. Astros lineup is out. I'll just give you the lineup. Altuve at second, Pena at short, Bregman at third. So news that Pena's batting second. Yiner DHs, Singleton at first, Dubon in left. Caratini catches, Myers in center, Trey Cabbage in right.
Where's the big fella?
Where is Yordan Alvarez?
Yeah.
After an off day yesterday against a right-handed pitcher who is terrible against lefties, where is Yordan Alvarez?
Oh, that's scary.
Where is Yordan Alvarez?
Well, he should be in the lineup, and he should be in Chicago, and I hope that he doesn't get some kind of neck discomfort as well and have one of those maybe cities that we've joked about in the past that he didn't really want to go to, so they ended up holding him back. Yeah, that's coming off the Verlander news, too. That's not what I want to hear.
They dropped the Verlander bomb and then sneaked the little lineup under the table. Here's the other thing. And Brian, I told Brian during the break, I was like, hey, Yordan's out. He said, well, you know, he might do the Dusty Baker off day, one day off, so you get 2 days off, but you miss one game thing. There's a nasty lefty on the mound tomorrow.
There is.
Like, if you were trying to give Yordan an extended period of time off or, like, 2 days off over or 2 games off in a 3 day span or 2 days off in a 3 day span, you do it tomorrow against Garrett Crochet. You don't do it against the righty Jonathan Cannon, who is a tomato can against left handed batters. Hopefully he's got the flu. Hopefully there's some smoke in Chicago and he has to be hospitalized because of fireworks smoke like it was in Atlanta. But the fact that Yordan Alvarez is not in the lineup today is terrifying.
When you know that you're playing a lesser than team, I heard the G's come on the way in talking about, you know, you got to sweep them. I mean, everybody's talking about you got to sweep the White Sox. Well, if there's one series against one team that you need, that you have a good chance to sweep, you would think it's the White Sox, even if you're facing Crochet. But you need your best lineup out there. And now, as much as I kind of already expected and set myself up to think that Verlander was going to miss some time, the last thing I needed on top of that was that Yordan's not in the lineup, and Yordan is now something I have to worry about how long is he going to be out?
I mean, Spot is going to have to answer to this lineup here in the next few minutes, so if we hear anything, we'll let you know. But, yeah, we're placing Verlander on the IL. Oh, and then, by the way, Yordan's not in the lineup today after a day off yesterday.
Yeah, but don't worry about that. Just focus on JV. He's going to miss some time.
Hopefully we're overreacting, and he has a cough. You know,
how can anybody maybe overreact some bad pizza with this team, with the way they handle these kind of things?
True.
And when the fact that neck injuries become arm injuries really quickly, and I don't know how the neck bone connected to the Tommy John surgery bone.
Weird.
It's not something that I feel very uneasy about. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Until we hear more. Even when we hear more. Dana Brown saying we're hopeful that Justin Verlander is not even going to miss a start and he's going to pitch in the White Sox series. Oh, we're going to place him on the injured list instead. So, like, even if they give us promising information, there's no reason for us to believe the promising information. You mentioned the Javier thing. Dana Brown talking about Verlander on Astros radio. We think that he can start in the White Sox series. Uh-oh. Instead, we're going to place him on the injured list. So even if they tell us good news, how can we believe the good news?
Can't.
It's the boy who cried wolf. We can't believe you anymore. 713-780-ESPN. I was hopeful on Verlander. Like Verlander talking the day after he missed his start. Oh, it's just a little neck, no big deal. Dana Brown with the Astro Radio. Oh, you know, we expect him to make the White Sox series. I fell for it. That's enough. I'm not falling for your jokes anymore. I'm not falling for your tricks. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice and three times and 18 times, shame on me. I'm not falling for it the 19th time.
When's the last time they told us something that actually we could believe that came true?
I mean,
Tucker was
supposed
to be back by the Angel series.
Yeah. I mean, it's always – I'm a big believer in under – what is the old saying? I'm a big believer in undersell, over-deliver.
Yep.
I'm a huge – like, that is a mantra I try to live by. I don't always hit it. I'm not perfect. But I try to undersell and over-deliver. The Astros are the opposite. They oversell and under-deliver when it comes to the injury department. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Willie, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up, Willie?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Always.
I'm talking about Dana Brown. You know, I never did like him, so, and I still don't. And he can win a World Series, and I wouldn't like him. They bought him in to be a scout and replenish the, not a scout per se, but to replenish the farm system. That's what he needs to stick to and stop trying to be the manager. I always said that. And about Verlander, now, if it's just going to cost $17.5 million next year, who's going to take his place if he don't get there?
Yeah, so that's the question. Appreciate the call, Willie. 713-780-ESPN. That's a valid point because you start talking about, well, who's on the 40-man roster, who are guys that they like, et cetera, et cetera. Guys, I mean, they have plenty of players under the roster next year, but it's just, do you have the depth? Is it players that you like, et cetera, et cetera? Fromber's under contract next year. Javier, you're looking at late in the season for him. Urquidy, you're looking late in the season for him. Ronel Blanco's under contract. Hunter Brown's under contract. Spencer Arrighetti's under contract. J.P. France is under contract. And then you start talking about some of the other arms, or Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers. And then like some of the prospects, like Jake Bloss is probably the pitching prospect that everybody's looking at right now. So those guys, and then maybe you repurpose. Because here's the thing. Verlander, $35 million. The Mets are on the hook for half of it if that contract vests. If he throws 140 innings this year, contract vests, he's on the roster next year. You have to pay him $17.5 million. I want Verlander back. Like, I don't think Verlander's a number one, number two starter. I think he's at best middle of the rotation guy. But for what I think he can give you even next year at the age of 42, I think he's worth $17.5 million. I do want Verlander's contract to vest.
You're paying McCullers essentially that, and he hasn't pitched in how long, and you continue to pitch him that way. But you need the starting pitching depth and the ability to, when you still want to go to a six-man rotation, when you still want to have a chance to win all of your games by putting really deep, good to above average starting pitchers out there for the most part, they still would have the ability to do those things. And at that price, because you gave up two top prospects as well to get him, to think that you're still going to be only having to pay him 17 and he can compete. He knows how to pitch. He's going to keep you in games. He might not be lights out, but he can keep the he can keep the lights dim enough that you can stay in a ball game and win a ball game better than some of the guys we've seen try and start games for the Astros this year. The bigger question is going to be, what is Garcia's status going to be health-wise? What is McCullers' status going to be health-wise? Because that would, if you had the ability to know that, that would allow you to really, you know, try and figure out what would be in the best interest of all parties. Yeah, right now, I think you have to have Justin Verlander back for one more year.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't pitch again this year, it's a different conversation. But, like, I expect him back. Maybe, again, they're fooling me for the 20th time. But I $17.5 million is, like, the going rate for a number three, number four starter. So I want Verlander to hit the 140 innings. Now, depending on the severity of this injury, you know, maybe that comes into play because we're about, what, 40% of the way through the Major League Baseball season. Let's say he gets back at the halfway point, and then we can just double his innings pitched to see, like, what he's on pace for. Verlander at this point has thrown 57 innings. Ooh. He's got a ways to go to hit 140.
Yes. Yeah,
and look, I think that the Astros could probably work something out with Justin Verlander where they were to, now the Mets wouldn't be on the hook anymore, though.
Right.
So, like, could the Astros work out a deal where they bring back Verlander at $20, $25 million? Yes, but that's more expensive if he doesn't hit the 140 innings. The Mets are only on the hook if that 2025 vesting option, if it vests. And right now at 57 innings, I mean, to get to 140, he better get back pretty dang quick.
I think one of the things that you have to factor in, too, is as long as this isn't a substantial medical issue, we've talked about this numerous times. He's still chasing his own individual stats, too. He's chasing things that he wants to get to. He wants to get to 300 wins, and he's not getting any younger. So you would think that no matter how good or bad or middle of the road this team is, that he's going to want to pitch enough, forget the vested interest thing for a second, and just say from a statistical standpoint, he's trying to get 300 wins. He's trying to stack and rack strikeouts. He's trying to do those things that we know mean something to him. I can't see him being done.
Yeah, no, me either. Now, because like what you just said, though, like it's admirable to me that he's like, hey, guys, I'm not 100%. Like, I admire that part of it. I hate that he's hurt, and I hate that the Astros are, like, coy with injuries. And, look, maybe they didn't even know. Maybe it was like, hey, let's reevaluate in 2 to 3 days. But maybe don't say that he could start against Chicago. Maybe right. We're still looking. Like, stop throwing out these lofty expectations. And this is Dana Brown again, diarrhea of the mouth. Like, let's stop setting these goals. Let's stop putting these milestones in place. And when the guy's back, the guy is back. Like, that's what leads to the, you know, expectations. That's why everybody's frustrated with how they handle injuries. They give us these broad terms. Sometimes they give us a date that they expect them back. They don't hit those deadlines, and we're aggravated with them. So stop overselling and under-delivering and start underselling and over-delivering. Stop with the timelines. We're going to get Verlander back when Verlander's back. Are people going to be mad at you that you're not giving an exact date? Sure. But they're not going to be as mad at you whenever those deadlines don't hit.
Or they pass, right? I mean, that's the other thing. If they give you a deadline that becomes unrealistic, and then instead of getting close to the deadline that they gave you, there's a significant amount of time before you even see said player again, well, then that just chaps everybody's ass even more. Because now, not only did you, you know, diarrhea of the mouth and oversell everything, but now you're not even close, and now it looks like it's a lot more doom and gloom than you painted the picture to be, and now everybody has a right to be more pissed off.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Paul, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. Long time follow the Astros, and I guess my biggest deal with Verlander, I do feel like it's a pretty good bargain to pick him up for next year. I mean, you know, the body's going to break down. You're just going to keep breaking down as you get older. There's no getting around that. I remember I would fly to Arlington to watch Ryan pitch, and the guy was still phenomenal pitching out in the open air, 100-degree heat, and it was his back that broke down, not his arm. But, what's the most frustrating part to me with the Astros is that they don't play the best players. I mean, I like the keep it simple, stupid method, you know, just play the best players. I would love to see Dubon at first or throw Jordan over there. If he can roam around the outfield, he can play first. Bringing that kid back up from the AAA that was leading our team in batting average, that's the most frustrating part. And, you know, with Verlander and the next thing, I don't quite buy that. You know, he seemed like a gamer. If it was just his neck, I think he'd be out there. But, they can point fingers wherever they want to. But just keep it simple and play the best guys. So I feel like I'm looking at my next door neighbor's select team, you know, where they're going to play the coach's kids. It's just very frustrating.
Appreciate it.
Buying up with you.
Yeah. It's a pretty good analogy, though, that you got the coach's kids in select ball, and you got the owner and the assistant to the general to the owner and general manager that have their favorites that are going to play, because we've been saying this for a couple weeks now. At a certain point, you're chasing, not being chased, and you need to put the best lineup out there.
Yeah, I mean, he suggested Jordan at first. Like, I'm not different. That doesn't seem like it's something they're willing to do. I mean, I want Yiner at first. If you can teach Jordan at first, that's fine. I want Jordan to be a full-time DH, though. Like, this dude gets placed on the IL because he breathes in too much smoke at times. Like, let's just make that guy our permanent DH. Let's make him our permanent David Ortiz. Like, the playing the best nine, I see where Paul's coming from. Like, you ran out Jose Abreu for a lot of the time. Joey Loperfido, there were some positive signs. There were some negative signs. Positive signs, high batting average. Negative signs, he was striking out like half the time. So you have to tell the entire story. But like Chaz getting run, he's been terrible. Mauricio Dubon maybe not playing as much as he should early. The last couple of weeks, they've been playing him more. It does seem like the Astros have made the move to win now mode whenever they released Jose Abreu. You even had Jeff Bagwell telling Brian McTaggart, we're in win now mode. Mm-hmm. So I do think that the Astros have changed that a bit from where we were 2 weeks ago, but I think Paul is probably onto something, or even last week. Rare Candy on the Twitch asked two questions. Why are the Astros so inaccurate about injuries? Do you think they do it on purpose? Do you think any other baseball teams are as vague as the Astros about injuries?
I think every franchise is different, and everybody has a different philosophy from a communication standpoint, and it starts with the guys that are going to be the ones that are going to be heavily involved, whether it's the owner or a general manager and a manager that's going to have to actually face the media with it. But, you know, the best example of close to the vest is a Belichick type. You know, there's plenty of organizations in which there's a lot of coaches that believe as part of the gamesmanship of the game itself, and for a lot of other reasons, like we've been talking about, we're not going to say a whole lot. We're just going to tell you, hey, for now, he's injured. We'll let you know when he's close to coming back. And that's it. Don't say anything more.
I don't think they even do that, though.
Well, they don't do it. Well, look, the frustration in the past has been the word discomfort. Right?
I'm okay with the vagueness. Like, I don't care if they're vague. Like, if you're going to tell me, like, hey, we're going to let you know later. Okay, like, I don't care about the vagueness. What I care about is Verlander might pitch against the White Sox. Kyle Tucker might not land on the injured list, et cetera, et cetera. Like, the false timeline to me is what annoys me. I can deal with the vagueness. Like, I can deal with the Bill Belichick. I'm only going to give you the information I have to give you. I would operate that way if I was an organization. I'd tell Dana Brown to shut up about injuries, quite frankly.
Well, but like Daryl used to use it as like a tool to manipulate everybody. Like, but he wanted to manipulate other teams. He wanted to let you know something that would stir an interest or stir a dialogue that might be able to give him an opportunity to do something that he was thinking about doing. So he might, even if he knew that a guy might be out for a said period of time, he might try and say, hey, there's a chance he can come back real quick, whether it's because you got a big game and a series coming up that someone has to plan for and game for, or you're looking to make a move out of that or have something happen. But even from my standpoint, I just think that there's too many guys that say too much. He also liked to say too much, but he was strategic and there was a method to his madness. I think Dana Brown just likes to hear himself talk.
And I don't know if it's that. He doesn't strike me as the guy, I like to hear myself talk. I'm going to go talk as much as possible. I think whenever he starts talking, he doesn't really understand some of the consequences of what he says.
Maybe that's true. I also think, especially because of how much we've talked about how it just seems like the whole organization is being run by committee, that a lot of times when he gets front and center to be the man, he's trying to speak like he has hands in everything and knows everything, because maybe he's not as powerful as we'd all like to believe as a general manager.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably true. I don't know if this is an example of that. I think that Dana Brown hears that fans are annoyed with how the Astros handle injuries, and he's trying to be a little bit more open. And when that openness at times leads to these deadlines that don't get hit, which is worse than people being frustrated about what is vague. 713-780-ESPN. Verlander news, what do the Astros do now? A lot of people are saying, Bauer, delete your accounts. But what do the Astros do to fill that spot? Even if it's 12 days, it's retroactive to 3 days ago. Even if it's 12 days, two turns to the rotation, what do the Astros do? What is your concern about Yordan Alvarez? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. So, a flurry of news coming down. Justin Verlander, injured list. Yordan Alvarez not in the lineup. Espada has not commented on why no Yordan Alvarez yet. He hasn't addressed the media yet. I'm sure he'll be asked about that. And we'll be all over it as soon as we see those tweets. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. 7373, Bauer is worth it if he can still compete at a major league level. I'd rather lose without Trevor Bauer than win with him. That's where I stand on Trevor Bauer.
Could not agree more. There's the one guy, I didn't think about Greinke until you mentioned him, but any guy I think should be considered before you consider Trevor Bauer. It's just there's too much that's happened, too much, you know, under the bridge that you already know about, and whether there was some truth to the other stuff or not, just the baseball stuff alone and the interactions and all the things with the Astros and the fact that you don't know if he can pitch against major league talent. I'm staying away as far away as I can from Trevor Bauer because you've heard he's a bad teammate regardless of the off-the-field stuff.
I mean, yes. If I had to have one guy to get three outs, I would pick Bauer ahead of Greinke. Sure. So for me, it's not about performance. It's just I want him nowhere near this baseball team. 6927, do those innings include playoff innings? Not assuming we'll make it. Just wondering, talking about the Verlander vesting option. No, those are regular season innings. He has to throw 140 regular season innings, and Justin Verlander is kind of nowhere close 140 regular season innings to this point. He's got a ways to go. It's very real. He's 57 innings right now. It is very real that Justin Verlander does not get to 140 innings this year.
Then that's a real interesting conversation in the offseason because I think that he's probably going to want to hook up with another winning team that has a chance to win it all and give him a really good offensive support system to try and chase those individual records as well. And I think that he would probably walk away from Houston and take whichever best situation that might be on the open market.
Yeah, I think that he would look at Houston as one of the best scenarios, though. I think that he likes Jim Crane. I think he likes the Astros. I think the Astros' offense will be fine next year. I think they're going to be okay. So I do think that Verlander, even if he doesn't hit 140 innings, would be open to the idea of pitching for the Astros. How much would the Astros be willing to spend to be open to the idea of Verlander being on their team? I don't know the answer to that. 9513, where is J.P. France? Can he be called up to spot start for J.V.? As far as I know, J.P. France hasn't thrown a baseball since he made that one appearance for the Space Cowboys, which was what? It was, I guess, early May?
Like a month ago, right?
Probably early May?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's been shut down from throwing, which usually leads with a shoulder and an elbow to usually going under the knife at some point.
Yeah, and again, if we don't get another medical update after we got that update a month or so ago, the assumption is he's not an option. And you need to figure out who your options are as soon as possible. Because like you said, it's not just going to be one turn. It's going to be he's going to miss a couple of turns in the rotation at a time when you desperately need guys that can not just pit, take a start, but actually do something with it.
For Verlander to hit 140, he probably needs to get called up pretty quickly after his injured list and then not land on the IL again.
Oh, for sure.
Like to hit 140, that's what it's going to take. Keith, I haven't heard about Forrest Whitley in a while. Last I heard is that he was throwing again, but I'm not sure that he's been – I'm not sure he's been in a game.
I haven't seen him in a game. And are we assuming that he's a reliever or a starter?
No, he's not an option to spot starter.
He's not a starter.
It's just another guy who's also been hurt for the Houston Astros this year. Yeah, he's been converted to a reliever. My grandmother once told me the mouth can say anything. I like that line. That's a good line. The mouth can say anything. I'm with you on that. Wrong answers only. Why is Jordan Alvarez not in the lineup? 6941, Alvarez ate at Geno's Pizza and got sick. Now, Geno's East did not make it in the Woodlands, by the way. That went out of business quick.
Geno's East is in Chicago?
Pretty sure. Pretty sure that's where it started.
I always thought Geno's East was more like Philly. I thought that, or maybe Geno's was the Philly, just Geno's, not Geno's East. Because Giordano's and what's the one that you like in Chicago?
I like Pequod's.
And Pequod's.
Pequod's my favorite.
Those are the two, the main names that I always hear Chicago pizza.
Google says the Geno's East story began in 1966 on Michigan Avenue.
Okay.
So maybe it's the Geno's, not Geno's East. But yeah, right. They brought one to the Woodlands and it was out of business pretty quick.
I heard that.
The building's still there, but there's just nothing there and there hasn't been anything there for a while. Yeah, maybe he ate bad pizza. Maybe he's got an upset stomach. Maybe he drank the water in Chicago.
Or Chicago dog. Maybe, you know, you got one of those Chicago dogs on one of the street vendors and it didn't sit right.
I mean, drinking the water in Chicago is dangerous. Look what happened to Joe. Look what happened to Joe drinking that water growing up.
Wow.
So he gets done in his
growth? Just saying. I didn't say that. You said that. I said the water messed him up. I didn't say that it stunted his growth. I mean, Jordan's a very tall man, but yeah, I mean, he didn't have it his whole life. Colt fan Jordan has toenail discomfort. Wouldn't put it past him. Mm-mm. I mean, Jordan has missed games for sleeping wrong on a hotel pillow, missed the entire Tampa Bay series. Which, I mean, at least it didn't require Tommy John, like Christian Javier. He was hospitalized for smoke in an outdoor stadium in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. What other injuries does Jordan have that are just bizarre? And like,
well, remember the ice skating incident running to chase the ball in the outfield that he went down with the...
But he didn't get hurt. Like, he didn't leave the game, though, right?
I don't know that he ever spent any time on the aisle. We were all just deeply concerned.
I had a theory last year that Jordan Alvarez wanted to get out of bad road trips.
Well, that's why I brought that up.
Didn't want St. Petersburg. Right. I have a bad neck. Got flown home to see the team doctors. I don't know what he has against Atlanta, but I don't really like Atlanta. I'm going to not play this series. I had a theory last year that Jordan Alvarez would sometimes come up with injuries because he didn't like a specific city.
That's why I brought it up earlier. But I'm thinking a three-gamer to Chicago, unless you just don't like the inconvenience of not being on the road for a significant, like, knocking multiple cities out. But if it's just a three-gamer of Chicago, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I don't want to go to Chicago this week. I'm going to have a cough, and then I'll see you on Friday against Baltimore.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of, like, not saying that he's done this, but he has missed road series in the past.
It could be that Jordan last night got bored and went down to the lounge to play the piano, and he injured both wrists that have been hurt in the past and both hands.
Yeah, could be.
Remember, we couldn't even figure out which hand it was.
We couldn't. A double knee surgery, too. So, like, sometimes his injuries come in twos. Aaron in Mid-County, JV faking injury so he doesn't have to be on the roster next season after seeing the disaster front office has become. It's his out. I don't believe that. He likes Crane. He likes the owner. Can we get away with a couple of bullpen games, Josh from Seabrook? I think that you can. Like, it's not ideal. Yeah, because
what
you're taxing
if it
the bullpen.
Work right. Yeah.
I mean, you could go two innings for Contreras, two innings for Hernandez, two innings for Scott, two innings for Martinez. You could do it, but then it really taxes your bullpen for days you're not having a bullpen day.
Your starter better go deep the next couple games after that.
Yeah.
We've seen it already with how quickly this bullpen can get overused.
8437, go grab that rubber arm Bielak. That's like actually an underrated costly move.
He's out
Bielak
there.
Would help you. No, he's not. He's not. He is in AAA. He's with Oakland. He belongs to the A's.
I thought the A's DFA'd him.
And he cleared waivers, and he got optioned down to AAA. Like, no one else claimed. I looked it up this morning because I was wondering what happened to Brandon Bielak. I heard that he got DFA'd. Yeah, I remember reading it.
I heard he got DFA'd.
He was outrighted to AAA. No one claimed Brandon Bielak, but he's property of the A's. Like, you can't just pick him off their minor league system. That's not how it works. You could trade for him, give him the cash for Brandon Bielak. When is McCullers coming back? I don't know. Late August, maybe. France, we covered that. Trevor Bauer, line one.
You want to mortgage your house on
that? Not really.
I don't. Again, it's an injury with the Astros. You want to believe that timeline?
No,
I don't at all. And like you said, was it earlier this week or last week? At least with Garcia, we're getting them giving us updates. The only updates you get from Lance McCullers are from his social media.
Yeah, but their updates stink.
That's what I'm saying. You don't trust them, but at least you're getting them on
I don't
him.
Know if that's good.
We're not getting anything from McCullers at all.
I'd rather them give me the McCullers treatment and not the Luis Garcia treatment and then miss the deadline. Not that there's a deadline, but there's a timeline. 3227, any chance he has a mistress in Atlanta so he avoids that area? We're not going to read text like that. Come on. Yordan been going strong this season. Give him a break on all that nonsense. Okay, I'll give him a break on the nonsense. Yordan's girlfriend gave him a blah, blah, blah and broke a rib. We're not reading text like that. 713-780-3776. Yordan sneezed and strained his back. That is actually a thing in Chicago. Sammy Sosa did that, right? He sneezed and went on the IL. Was that Sosa? I think it was Sosa. I think Sosa sneezed so violently.
I thought they were referring to it because Correa had something.
Well, those were two different like texts. Yeah. 3227 said he sneezed. The other text said that he got a massage and broke his rib.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, two different texts there. Yordan got a flat tire on a stationary bike. Yordan doesn't use a stationary bike. The Geno's East building is gone. The sign is still there, Brandon. Yeah, maybe. I don't remember. Wrong answers only. I guess you can take Lamont's call. That's not very nice to Lamont, 2002. We'll use that on Friday. 5623 says that he drank too much Gentle Ben. That can't be the case. Gentle Ben does not cause hangovers.
That's right.
So that can't be the case. If he was drinking Gentle Ben, he wouldn't be hungover. 713-780-ESPN. Cash him or trash him with the Bees. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, tell you a little bit about Vanderford Air, because Vanderford Air, whether you know them or not, you're going to need to save their number because they're the best in the business at taking care of your air conditioning needs, and you're going to have air conditioning needs because you're going to need your system to work right, because you're going to need somebody trustworthy that you can call when and if anything goes wrong with your air conditioning, and you might need someone now before it really gets over 100 degrees on a consistent basis to check your system to make sure that everything is up to snuff before it gets really toasty in Houston. I recommend that you save this number right now. It's really easy to remember. It's 281-557-COOL because they are the best in the business. And on top of all the ways that they can help you and how good they are at being experts at their field, the other thing is everything that they do is guaranteed for you or 100% money back. That is so important when you're doing business with anybody these days, but particularly because they cover every single aspect with their guarantees. From the parts and or the systems that they're going to use and or replace being totally guaranteed, to the workmanship and the craftsmanship that's done by their employees to install and maintain the actual work that's being done, to the fact that everything is going to put your house at the temperature you prefer, and or the fact that no matter what, if anything goes wrong and you don't like it, if you're not 100% satisfied, you get your money back. That's the kind of guarantee I want when I'm dealing with a company. Oh, and there's one more thing. Because you know that when it gets really hot outside, a lot of companies stack up with a lot of calls every day. And if you call and say, hey, my AC's out, I need somebody now, they're going to go, well, your version of now is as soon as possible. Our version of now is we got so many people, we can't get there till next week. And you're left to sit there and try and either find another company or to deal with the heat. Not at Vanderford Air. You call them, and within 24 hours, they're going to be there to see you. That's amazing in my book, because no matter how busy they are, they're never too busy for you. And everything they do is guaranteed, which is why I can't recommend them enough. They're fantastic. Check them out on their website, VanderfordAir.com. Main thing is you can call them, save the number, put it in your phone, and make sure, even if you don't need it now, if you need somebody and you need them in a pinch, you should call the best. 281-557-COOL or VanderfordAir.com.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good. That's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
All right, what are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-ESPN. I'm mad. Blankers, we do the honor.
Not one, not two, not three. The Astros will not make a trade between now and the trade deadline.
Yeah, trash. Not a single trade?
Not a single trade.
Yeah, trash. I'll make a trade.
I can see them thinking and believing in their own roster. and I don't think they're going to make a move.
Nothing at all? Not a single
maybe
trade?
Maybe a minor move for a starting pitcher. I don't. But maybe
well, I said that you're trashing.
But that's not a trade. That's not a trade. They might be able to just. They might just sign somebody.
Oh, I don't think there's anybody good enough to do that. I think that they'll make a trade.
I don't think that they're going to, because, you know, we heard two starting pitchers from Heyman and others, and we heard them saying, you know, or whoever said that they were linked to, that they might sign two starting pitchers. I'd like them to sign a bat. I'd like them to make some moves, get a relief. I don't think they're going to do anything.
All right. I believe that they will. We'll mark one for later.
Running with your own take there, Joel, your own opinion. I mean, if they believe in this roster and they don't want to sell, wouldn't they then make a move to add to the roster?
Maybe. But I just think it's, unless it's a big splashy move, I don't believe in Jim Crane. I don't believe in this front office. And I think that right now with Verlander in this situation, I've lost all belief that this team is going to do anything right.
Okay. I mean, obviously, I'm going to trash.
Trash.
I mean, I think it's minor. Those make, even at minimum, they'll trade for, like, a reliever.
Okay.
Maybe if they're selling, they'll trade. I think also if they're going to sell, I think they're going to try to get under the luxury tax. Because Crane's going to be like, if I'm going to be in the luxury tax and I'm not going to have a winning team, then you might as well just say, you know, trade away some salary. So I could see it going either way, but I'm very confident they'll make a trade. Mike, cash him or trash him, Bryson DeChambeau should represent the USA in the Olympics. Four golfers representing the U.S. of A. in the Olympics. Those four golfers, not including Bryson DeChambeau because he joined LIV, and whoever makes these decisions doesn't include LIV golfers. The four golfers that are representing the U.S. of A. Scottie Scheffler, okay, no problem there. Xander Schauffele, okay, no problem there. Colin Morikawa, no problem there. And Wyndham Clark, that bozo. He hadn't been good since last year's U.S. Open. Wyndham Clark's representing our country on the world stage over Bryson DeChambeau. It's a travesty.
I think he's mentioned this last week. I think it's because of the, I think it has something to do with the rankings and the fact that if you're not on the PGA Tour, that your ranking status doesn't qualify DeChambeau and others from the LIV Tour. He's obviously one of the best players from America. And he, even before he won this, he was in the running for the Masters. He's been basically in every major. He's been playing his tail off. And he's not alone. I mean, there's a couple guys on the LIV Tour that that probably should qualify. I think he should represent the United States. Cash it. Yes.
I was just waiting to hear cash it. Okay.
Sorry, cash it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to cash it as well. I don't think you can make the argument that he's not one of the best four American golfers that would be that should represent you in the Olympics. And I mean, there's obviously going to be some politics involved or what Joel mentioned with the ranking system, but it sucks, and he is a golfer that should be representing America.
Two of our finest athletes in this country will not be donning the red, white, and blue during the Summer Olympics. Bryson DeChambeau and Caitlin Clark. I might not watch the Olympics. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to think long. And I have a month to think about it.
For the 10 steps, right?
We have two of our most dominant, most decorated athletes in our country, and they're not going to be representing the U.S. of A. Are you kidding me? You kidding me? With no Bryson DeChambeau and no Caitlin Clark? It's a travesty.
I already suck at this game, obviously, but why am I blanking on what's the other LIV golfer that always does well in the majors?
Koepka?
Yeah, Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, he didn't do that great this last week.
Not this last week, but I think that he's better than he could be your fourth option.
Well, DeChambeau should be the fourth
right.
option. I'm okay with the other three. I'm okay with the other three.
They're good players, yeah. And Xander did well in the last Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with the other three. Bryson should be replacing Will the Thrill Clark. It's a joke. All right, what do you got, bro?
You put Will the Thrill on Wyndham Clark.
He would be lucky to have the career of Will the Thrill Clark.
Yeah, no. We can't give him that.
Why don't you like Will Clark?
No,
why
I'm
is Will
we
Clark
can't give that to Wyndham.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying we can't give that to Wyndham. Yeah, no, I'm with you. So I don't remember the last time I had cash or trash. The schedule's been wonky recently. But I think the last one I did, I came on here and said that the Texans would have 3,000-yard receivers. That's probably been a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I'm actually going to take it a step further, double down a little bit. Not only will the Texans have 3,000-yard receivers, and I've got an explanation, if depending on how much you want to hear of it, but I think Nico Collins is going to lead the league in receiving.
Whoa!
Receiving yards. Receiving yards. Not, I should clarify. Not receptions. Whoa. Receiving yards. And I say that because, I mean, we all kind of, well, I'll speak for myself. I think we all mocked C.J. Stroud when he compared Nico to Andre Johnson and called him a generational talent. And I still stand with my mocking of that in terms of Nico is not as talented as Andre Johnson, but when you look at the usage, and if you want to dive into the numbers, the stat I like most is yards per route run, because it shows how much a player is really targeted when they actually have the availability to be targeted. Only one other player in the entire NFL last season, as far as yards per route run, was targeted more than Nico Collins. That was Tyreek Hill. And the numbers he set last year, Nico Collins and yards per route run, the only other players that have done it in the last 10 seasons, obviously Tyreek Hill. Then you also add to that Julio Jones and who was the other one? It was Cooper Kupp in his record-breaking season.
Brian, was this your thesis?
I cut it down. There's a lot more. There's a reason I cut it down here. But my point is, he's not Andre Johnson talented, but he's targeted like Andre Johnson. When he's on the field, he's targeted at a rate that only the elite wide receivers get. And he's
what about Diggs, though? You don't think Diggs is going to cannibalize this?
No, because I think Diggs, and this is the next point, I think Nico is going to be, you know, the deep post, the deep in, yeah, ins and out routes. That's the type of wide receiver he is.
Receiving yards.
Yeah, 15 to 20 yards downfield. I think Diggs, and we saw this in Buffalo, he worked a lot of short yeah, intermediate type of passing routes.
Okay, so, where did he finish last year, did you say?
Nico, and as far as yards, I don't know. He missed a couple games. So he was just over 1,200 yards, but if you apply that yards per route
run. He was eighth.
Yeah, if you apply that yards per route run and bump him up to what he would have missed, or what he would have been at is if he hadn't missed those games, yeah, he'd been up around 1,600 yards, Blank which is enough.
I'm trashing it, and I'm trashing it because what he did last year was
trash
with a wide receiver, a room that wasn't as strong as it is this year. And yeah, when you have Tank and you have Diggs and you have Schultz and there's only so much football to go around, I just think that I think Nico's going to have a good year. I don't think that he's going to lead the league in yards because there's going to be too much talent around him, and CJ's going to spread it around.
I'm not sure how much Diggs cannibalizes him. I know I asked the question. I think Diggs Tank is going to be like, yeah, but Tank was here last year. I think that Diggs is going to be like pretty clearly the third option at receiver. I hope that you're right. Not because the Texans. I drafted Nico Collins in one of my best ball drafts today. I drafted him with my second pick. I had a Jamar Chase.
You have what, like 50 best ball drafts?
Yeah, but still today specifically, I went Jamar Chase, Nico Collins 1-2. So pretty strong at the receiver position. And I stacked them with CJ Stroud. So I hope that you're right. Nico was eighth last year. He was eighth, but he was a distant eighth. Tyreek Hill had 1,800 yards last year. 1 yard shy of 1,800 yards. Tyreek's going to be tough. CD's going to be tough. Puka's going to be tough with that Rams offense. I'm going to say trash.
Trash.
I think top five's in play, though. I like the take. I think top five's in play. I can't go as far to number one with Tyreek and CD and Puka. And then the others like Chase and Jefferson that I didn't even mention there.
Well, and I'm just worried, you know, Tank missed substantial games last year, too. I do. I just think that they're going to spread it around enough that I think there are other guys that are going to soak up a ton of yards because they're basically like it was a year ago and worse in the case of like a Jefferson or some of the guys that are on top of the list.
Hope you're right. I think everybody in the bullpen, I believe Abreu should be the starter while Justin Verlander is away.
That's not your take.
No, it's text.
Yeah, that's awful.
So trash.
Yeah, trash for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to trash that one.
Trash.
8693, cash or trash, Verlander's an Astro next year.
Cash.
I'm going to cash this, too. I think that Verlander might hit 140 innings, and I think if he doesn't, I think he re-signs with the Astros, right?
Yeah, I think because that's Jim Crane's, you know, pet pitcher. I think they'll find a way one way or the other.
I do, too.
Yeah, I'll cash it. I think he wants to be here.
One final one, 1429. Cash or trash Joe George's hot take. What the Texans need to prove to be a championship team is they need to prove it. Cash or trash.
There's got to be more to that, yeah, right?
What the texture says. He says great words of wisdom. I don't know. That's the texture says. I'm going to read the entire thing. Cash or trash, Joe George's hot take. What the Texans need to prove to be a championship team is they need to prove it.
Trash it.
Trash. I mean, I'm going to cash it.
I mean, technically it's not wrong. Yeah. To prove you're a championship team, you have to win a championship, I guess.
I need to know what that means, and if it's that vague, I'm trashing it.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to do a radio segment on it, but technically he's right.
I think the listener is calling out Joe for an obvious take.
Yeah.
You have to prove you're a title contender by winning a title. Well,
how do you win the game? Score more points than the other team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're going to try to track down what in the world's wrong with Yordan Alvarez. If you want to play the why is Yordan Alvarez not in the lineup wrong answers only, we'll have some fun with it. We'll laugh because we don't want to cry. 713-780-3776. Wrong answers only. Why is Yordan not in the lineup? Also, we're going to see a former Houston Astro great today. Not Corey Jolks, go Cougs. Not Corey Lee, who you traded for Kendall Graveman, who is hurt this year. The theme of the Astros pitching staff. But what former athletes were favorites of yours, even though they weren't very good? A la Martin Maldonado, who is a member of the White Sox. What former Houston athletes were your favorites, even though they weren't good at sport? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag is where I always tell you to go if you want to get some gambling done, if you want to bet on some sports, you want to do some casino games, and you don't even have to leave your house, or you can do it on your phone. You can do it in your pajamas. You can do it whenever you want, basically, because they're always open and they always got things going on for you. They got soccer. They got UFC. They've got all the different baseball that's going on right now. Golf. They've got all kinds of options for all kinds of bets. And the fact of the matter is they're always going to take care of you throughout that process. Right now, if you've never gone to mybookie.ag before and you sign up, there is a sign-up bonus when you use our promo code BET975. That means they will instantly put more money in your account, you will have more money to play with, and more chances that you can win. If you've been on MyBookie before and you want to reload your account, there's a bonus for you too. Always use the promo code BET975. When there's not games going on and there's nothing to gamble on in terms of sports, but you want to do some casino games, you don't have to drive to the casino. The casino comes to you with MyBookie.ag. Live dealers standing by. Blackjack, Baccarat, you name it, poker, they've got it. And the dealers are there to make it as a real-life experience for you. Fact of the matter is, whenever you see an opportunity to put a promo code, put in BET975, and you're going to cash in whether you win or lose your bet. That's absolutely fantastic. Do it like I always tell you to do it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. It's the only place I tell you to do it. Go to mybookie.ag and always use our promo code BET975.
In honor of Martin Maldonado, who is a member of the White Sox, he's their backup catcher to former Astro farmhand and former Astro Corey Lee. In honor of Martin Maldonado, what former Houston athletes were favorites of yours, even though they weren't very good? So something, that pulled your heartstrings because, I don't know, for whatever reason. Maybe they were charitable. Maybe they were lovable. Maybe you just liked the way they looked. Whatever your reason, we're not here to judge. But in honor of Maldonado, what former Houston athletes were favorites of yours, even though they weren't very good? 713-780-3776. What do you got, Blankers?
I separated them, and I started with Rockets for obvious reasons. I Pete Chilcutt, number one.
Ooh, good call. I like Pete Chilcutt,
too. Chili Pete, great dude. I mean, he could shoot the three, didn't get a whole ton
could
of
he?
Run.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember him ever shooting the.
Oh yeah, he was a stretch
in games or like when y'all played pickup together.
No, he would stretch the floor and shoot the three.
I remember
Matt Bowler stretching with the three.
Okay, 38% career 3-point shooter.
That's pretty good.
38%
shoot the three.
Scoreboard Blankers on this one. He's right.
I know. I don't know a lot about a lot in a lot of people's minds, but I know.
I just don't remember it.
I don't either.
Rocket history. Chili Pete was. I mean, he started in the '95 season multiple games.
17. I got his Pro Basketball Reference up.
Yeah, I mean, and just one of my all-time favorite guys to be around. He's a good dude. So I'll start with Pete Chilcutt.
That's a good pull. Pete Chilcutt's a very good pull.
I was pretty young then, but I always loved the name, like Chilcutt. It's a great name.
I was young as well. Probably younger than you there, Brian.
By a couple years, yeah.
I mean, those were the championship Rocket teams. I always pull, and I'm going to need... Were these guys too good to be on this list?
Couple of checks here.
Like I always loved Carl Landry. I think Carl Landry is
too good.
I think Carl Landry is too good. How about Adam Everett? Was Adam Everett like Billy Spire's way too good?
I can't even
throw out, the proposition of Billy Spire. He was way too good. But how about Adam Everett? I loved Adam Everett. Probably, I mean, because of his defense. His defense was elite. But I was always a big fan of Adam Everett. Mm-hmm. Is Adam Everett too good to qualify on our Martin Maldonado list?
Well, but kind of like Martin Maldonado gets a ton of credit for being great defensively, and a great backstop and really all the things that goes with a catcher. And he couldn't hit. And Adam Everett couldn't hit. I think Adam Everett qualifies.
Okay. I love a little Adam Everett. And in a similar vein, and this guy would qualify, Casey Kandel. Who didn't love Casey Kandel? His name is fun. Casey Kandel. If anybody had the name Casey Kandel, they're going to be a fun person no matter what because their name's Casey Kandel.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of people in Houston that you talk to that love Casey Kandel. I think he's absolutely fine. The one that I have that I wonder if he qualifies or not is Jeff Blum.
He's probably too good. I think he's too good.
Because he was kind of like a utility guy. And did he really ever significantly be like a starter type guy? They moved him all over the place. He played multiple positions. Blummer, again, we played in a golf tournament. We played in Biggio's golf tournament 1 year. And Blummer was our celebrity. And a lot of times those guys don't want to be there. And he said he never played golf before. And he was the best dude to hang out with, tell stories. And everything like that, that all the guys in our group became fans of Jeff Blum, even though he wasn't the Bagwell Biggio starter types. But, I mean, he played a lot.
Did he, was he good at golf?
No, he wasn't good? Yeah, he wasn't good at that time. We were actually teaching him how to play during the round. He's like, I'm not going to help you, and you're not going to use one of my shots. And by the end of the round, we at least had him hitting it.
Because, I mean, most of those baseball guys, just even if they're not good, they'll hit the ball a mile.
Yeah.
They'll hit the ball a mile. What do you got, Brian?
A couple of Astros names. I always liked Mike Lamb for those mid-2000s Astros team. He was kind of a utility corner infielder. Also like Darryl Ward a lot.
Yeah,
Darryl Ward was kind of the chubby, lovable guy. They'd stick in the outfield, wasn't good in the outfield.
But every now and then.
He was chubby. And then obviously he could play at first base as well.
He hit the ball in the water in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And he had great power, just didn't really have a spot defensively.
Who was your first one? Your first one was Mike Lamb.
Mike Lamb.
Mike Lamb always remind me of Aubrey Huff, which I don't think anybody's picking Aubrey Huff.
Aubrey Huff, not a lovable guy. A lovable guy. Basketball, Chuck Hayes. I mean, the Chuck Wagon was awesome. I mean, was he too good though? Was he?
He started a ton.
He did. He was a starting.
Yeah, but he's a role.
He's a role player.
That 41-41 Rockets team with Aaron Brooks and Scola and those guys wasn't he? He was a starting center.
Yeah, or at least the four. Was he starting at the five?
I think he started at the five.
Yeah, because Scola was the four.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
And then Landry would come in and play a little
that's
four.
Right. Yes, he would.
Yeah, I guess that counts. 713-780-ESPN. A lot of people weighing in on this. Who are your favorite Houston athletes, even though they weren't very good? 50-30, Jake Mariznick and Hank Conger.
Okay, those are good.
Panda.
Yeah, I love both of them.
Yeah, Panda
both
was great.
Of them. And Conger would do the – he did the robot.
He did.
Remember? What did they call it? The Conger bot, I think?
The Conger bot.
I think they called it the Conger bot.
And Jake from Rake Farm, but – they used that. Blummer had a name for him, like Jake from State Farm.
Yeah, he was so good defensively.
Yes, he was great.
And he could hit the ball with power. He didn't have a very good average and he struck out a lot, but when he connected, he was kind of a white version of Jose Siri. He would play really good defense, and whenever he connected, he hit the ball a long way. They were very similar games. Very similar games. High level of defense, extreme pop, very, very seldomly connected.
Siri, a way better athlete. Faster
than Mariznick? I don't know.
I think he was faster.
Way better? I can't put way better. Mariznick was elite level defense.
Faster?
Mariznick, I think you're selling Mariznick short.
Maybe I am.
Mariznick was pretty dang athletic and pretty dang fast with a pretty good arm.
Better cheerleader, too.
I don't think so. Siri, that's probably Siri, what he does
Siri's
best.
Siri's a better cheerleader than Jake.
713-780-ESPN. Which Houston athletes were favorite of yours, even though they weren't very good? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.